So you're at work, maybe you're at a family dinner, right? And a conversation about faith comes up.
All right.
And now suddenly you feel it, right? There's this moment that you could say something, share what you believe, tell them about Christ. And just as you're about to really think about saying something, there's this voice that comes up in your head and it kind of whispers to you, now, if you say something, they're going to judge you.
Right, you're gonna kill
Right? Yeah. You
the
know, these people are going to pull away from you.
mood.
You're going to lose that friendship. You
Right,
know, if
yeah.
you're on the job, you're going to end up losing your job. And so maybe now's not the time.
Right, maybe next time it'll be a better
Exactly.
setting.
And so you just stay quiet. You
Yeah.
don't say anything.
Right.
And then later, the Holy Spirit kicks in.
Now we've all been there.
And you're feeling the weight, right?
Yeah.
The guilt of staying silent when you know you should have said something.
Yeah, we've
And
all been
if
there.
you've ever felt that conflict between wanting to honor Christ and fearing what others will think, then this podcast is for you,
Yeah,
right?
for sure.
Jesus in the message that we had on Sunday, Jesus said, there is a cost that comes
Yeah.
with following me.
Right, yeah.
And but the great news about it is, as we're going to talk about it today, is even though there is a cost, he has promised something that is greater
Yeah.
than the cost that it's going to come to
Yeah.
you.
Kind of give you a sandwich with that bad news, right? You
Is it
had
peanut
the
butter and jelly or
no, it's a doo-doo sandwich, right?
okay? All
It's a doo-doo sandwich, right?
right,
Because
so.
you had not especially on Sunday before, friend, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I know where you're going with
Yeah,
this. Yeah.
friend, and then boom, you get to the doo-doo part,
Yeah,
right?
it was kind of
The
like,
world's
oh man,
gonna hate you, right? But then
because isn't that true for all of us? We want all the benefits that come with following Christ, right? The fruit of the Spirit, the relationship with Christ,
Yeah,
that
that
friendship,
closeness.
that
Yeah.
closeness.
But then we want to be buddies with the world too. And that
We're
doesn't
trying to
it doesn't
straddle the
work.
fence, right?
Yeah, it
You
doesn't
know,
work. Doesn't work.
for some reason, we think the grass is always greener on the other side. We get to the other side, and then we think the grass is greener on that side. And so we go back to the other side. So we're constantly in this back and forth, back and forth.
Light and dark can't share the same space.
No,
They can't.
no.
Light pushes the dark away. The dark runs from light.
Yeah.
You can't be a light
Yeah.
and live in the dark. You can't. You do
And
it.
I didn't say this in the message, but obviously this is part of it. Jesus said that he is the light of the world, but then he tells us that we are the light of the world as well,
Yeah.
meaning that we're to be reflecting his light,
Absolutely.
to the rest of the world. And light exposes things.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the minute you say you're a follower of Christ and you live for Christ and you do for Christ, you just the very life that you're living, right? Is going to expose the people around you.
That's right. Yeah, you can't help it.
Yeah.
And it does turn people away.
Right.
And the Bible told us. He told us, like he said, they love darkness rather than light.
Yeah.
And the moment you start bringing the light in, and why do they love darkness rather than light? Because their deeds are evil.
Yeah.
They want a cloak over their sin.
Yeah.
And the moment you come in with light, and it's like, oh, I'm not gonna do that. I, you know, or no, I'm not gonna be lazy. I'm gonna work my hardest. I'm gonna do
Yeah.
this. Yeah, and you can't help but expose that
Yeah.
darkness, because in that darkness is
I have
all the hidden
felt it
stuff.
so many times in my life. The most vivid example of this is after 9 years of being a missionary, we came back to the mission field, went on staff with my church there in Leesburg. And a short time after that, a year or 2 years, is when the economy just plummeted. I mean, it just went boom. And a lot of people in our church, they either lost their jobs or they were working for government contracts and they got moved out of the area. And we lost 50% of our church
Wow.
within a matter of just a few minutes or
Right.
months. But what happened was that then resulted in us who were on staff we had to go out and find jobs.
Right. Yeah. Right?
So I'm back in the workforce.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I end up working for a company and, you know, now I'm back in that situation
mm-hmm.
where I'm among a lot of unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure is for you not to say something.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And, sure. and so I know that in my own life, you know, I'd already determined, hey, I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm trying to do what's right.
Right.
And so in doing that, I noticed how it started putting pressure on other people around me.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And not because I was sitting there, you know, calling them sinners or pointing them out.
It just happens naturally.
Yeah. It just comes to a point where people just see you for who you are.
Yeah. You just walk around as a light
yeah.
and the darkness has to go away.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Right.
It's natural. Yeah. You don't have to be shoving down people's throat. If you are a light and you step into darkness, yeah. it has an effect.
Yeah.
It's just how it works.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you didn't catch the message from this past week, encourage mm-hmm. you to go back to our YouTube channel. You can find the message there. The name of the message was The Cost of the Vineyard, mm-hmm. Bearing Witness in a Hostile World.
Yeah.
We were in John chapter 15, verses 18 through 23, or 27, I'm sorry. And this is the last half of that. So it was the yeah. last message of that particular chapter.
Yeah.
And really, the big idea mm-hmm. behind the message was whenever we're abiding in Christ, it's not just a source of comfort, right?
Right.
There is also a cost that comes with it. In fact, the hostility of the world, the opposition of the world is going to be very real. But in the midst of all that, God also gives us his comforter,
yeah.
which will bring us through that, help us to be the witness that we should be.
Right.
And so there was 4 points, reality of Christ and preparing his disciples,
yeah.
The promise in the middle of the hostility, and then witnessing is stewardship, not optional.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Abiding is the source of courage to witness. And as we were getting ready, and as you listen to the message, which by the way, you were able to be in the service.
I got to be in it in person, right? Watch it live.
Yeah.
I don't always get that.
Yeah. You know, the first question we always try to address is, you know, what stuck out to you from the message?
Right.
So what was that one thing that, you know, stuck out to
you? Well, we've, especially in the past few podcasts, we've talked a lot about the personableness of God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of been
spent a lot of time on that.
Yeah. And that's kind of been a big topic, especially as we've just gone through John here lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that God is personable. And it becomes even more personal because in the message you brought out how God acknowledges that what we're doing is difficult,
yeah.
that what we're called to do is difficult,
yeah.
that it's not just this, it's not just, you know, eating a cheesecake, right? That's the easiest thing in the world to do, right? No, there's resistance,
yeah.
there's problems, there's an enemy. The world is going to reject you. The world's going to fight against you. You make the world uncomfortable. And who are we around constantly?
Yeah.
Well, the world.
Yeah.
You already talked about, you know, being in the workforce and that situation that you already kind of spelled out. I mean, we're kind of in a different circumstance to an extent, right? I work here. We work here.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to talk about God here. Hopefully, right? Hopefully that just happens really naturally. Right. Yeah. Hopefully that's not an issue around here. But, you know, the congregation, the vast, vast majority of people are out in the normal workforce with the world.
Yeah.
Around the world. Around worldly people. Around that darkness.
Yeah.
Right? Where we want, that they are out in the place where they want to feel accepted.
So you know, we're talking about witnessing is hard.
Yeah.
Right? And I think there's two very basic reasons why most believers find it hard.
Yeah.
Okay. I think one, they're not sure what to say.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah.
How
do you even start?
How do you even start? If somebody asks you a question, how do you answer it? Mm-hmm. You know, so they're just not confident enough in their own.
Am I going to have the answer?
Right. Right.
To that question.
and that's a very real fear.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay? Yeah.
Because nobody wants to be caught in a situation where they don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
Right. Even though we spend a lot of time talking about things we don't know what we're talking about. just go sit down at Walmart, start talking to people. You'll find all kinds of people talking about things.
All kinds of stuff.
And but you know, that's a very real fear. So how do you overcome that fear? Well, obviously overcoming that fear means, you know, learn just your basic testimony.
Oh, right.
Share that with them.
Absolutely.
If they have questions that you can't answer, then, you know, find one of us as pastor and, you know, we'll help you with that.
Yeah.
Right.
It's okay to be wrong.
Yeah.
And what's not okay is to never learn.
Exactly. And never witness.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
But then the second part of that is always, how are they going to react to me?
Right. Yeah.
And I think that is, I don't know if it's equally as strong or if it's stronger.
Yeah,
because as I said on Sunday, we don't like it when people hate us.
No, God made us sociable.
Right.
He made us to have relationships, exactly. To want to be together. And you have to acknowledge some people's closest relationships are their work ones.
Yeah. Now, if you're listening to this podcast and it sounds like it's raining and there's a storm going on, that's because it is raining and there is a storm going on. And we're hoping that this thing doesn't cut out on us in the middle of it.
Yeah. We waited a while, but it didn't work.
But you know, just because the world hates us still is not an excuse.
No.
Do it. And I think that's the purpose of this message and what Christ said,
yeah.
Is there is no excuse.
And you have to acknowledge, why does the world hate what we're saying?
Right. And I, yeah.
Why? They hate it because it exposes sin.
Right.
No one likes being exposed. No one likes, even horrible workers.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible workers don't like to be known as horrible workers.
Yeah.
We don't want to be exposed for mediocrity, for sin, for wrong things. We don't like that.
Right.
The world doesn't want to be told that they're sinful. I don't want to be told that I'm sinful. I don't want to be told that I'm wrong. Well, I don't want to be corrected.
If you go back to the verses, right?
Yeah.
I shared with you on Sunday.
Yeah.
He says the world hates you because it hated me before it hated you.
Yeah.
And then later he says, he that hateth me hateth my father also. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, he says, let's see, where's the other one? Because they know not him that sent me, you know, and now they have seen and hated both me and my father. So the hatred is not really towards us.
No.
The hatred is toward God.
Yeah.
Right? We just...
Yeah.
For lack of a better term, caught the crossfire.
Well, we're the messenger.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Everyone says, don't shoot the messenger.
But
why do they say that? Because people do shoot the messenger. But we're the messenger of the truth, of that light that exposes.
Yeah.
And what stood out to me is that God acknowledges that this is hard.
Yeah.
That this is going to happen. And he literally uses the word, the world's going to hate you.
Yeah.
I don't want to be hated.
No.
But he's warning you. He said, but understand, it's because they hate me.
I went back and I was kind of watching some of the message as I preached it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember my introduction, because I told them, you know, somebody told me this week they hate me.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And you can almost see just people.
It was like a recoil.
Like, what? You know, somebody told you they hated you? You know?
Right.
And then when I told them that it was a 3-year-old that didn't get her way,
yeah.
Then they all just, you know, it was like the, oh. You know, it's like this relief and everybody's
that's
laughing,
giggling, right?
You know,
yeah.
Because, you know, obviously that's a 3-year-old, right?
Right.
But the initial reaction,
right,
is what's real.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because we don't like it when somebody says they hate you.
No, we don't want to be disliked.
Now, we love it when they say they love you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but not hate you. And Jesus was very clear. Look, you're going to follow me. Let's just deal with reality. Reality is they're going to hate you. Why? Not because they hate you, but because they hate me.
Yeah. There's a comforting tone there.
Yeah.
It's like, look, you just have to be mature enough to understand. Mm-hmm. It's not you.
Yeah.
They don't hate you. You're just another human being just like they are, that makes mistakes, that you know, you're just a person, but they hate me.
Yeah.
It's me that they really hate.
Yeah.
And you are representing me.
Yeah.
And that's why they hate.
That's good.
But he acknowledges that it's hard, and it's again just that personfulness of God. There's that comforting tone there. He's like, just understand, it's not you.
Yeah.
They really hate me.
Yeah. So for me, and you and I, we've talked about this many times.
Yeah.
You're on staff here, so obviously we have lots of conversations about, you know, what we're accomplishing as a church and what we're not accomplishing as a church.
Of course.
And you know that one of my burdens that I've been carrying this year is just, it's been a long time since we had some people saved in our church, right? And discipled. And when you go through a drought like that, it's hard.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure it is.
Especially if you're going to take the command of Christ, the commission of Christ to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and to see souls saved, you know, you don't want to go through those droughts.
Right.
Right. And, you know, I said in my message, you know, this is a hard thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we as a church and it falls on all of us, you know, it's me as a pastor, you know, everything falls and, you know, rises and falls on leadership. I said that in the message. But yet, it is all of us, right? And all of us have got to come to a point where we can't let the hostility of this world, the opposition of this world, stop us and keep us from going out and being the witness that Christ wants us to be.
Yeah.
Now, there's an interesting answer to this in John 16. But we have 2 weeks before we get there, so I'm not going to give you the answer to that right now.
It's going
to
leave us in suspense. You better come this Sunday.
Now, you can get ahead of me and study John 16 for yourself. That'll be great. So let's just get real quick into some of the questions that the sermon raised that were never fully answered.
Right.
And I've got at least two here. And the first one is this. How do you witness effectively in a post-Christian culture?
Yeah.
Okay. Where people no longer share basic assumptions about God, the Bible, and morality. Now, that question, my first reaction to that question is, what is a post-Christian culture?
Right.
And by the way, this is a term that is gaining popularity right now.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So
that doesn't shock me.
Yeah. So quick clarification then what we mean by post-Christian culture.
Yeah.
And this is basically the way it's defined according to the internet. Okay. A post-Christian society is historically based in Christian ideas and follows simplified Christian values, but rejects the authority of Christianity and does not consider it the basis of either its ethics or its culture. Christian language and expression that once permeated society has become rare or superficial.
Right.
And I think this term post-Christian culture is one that's particularly aimed at America.
Right. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, naturally.
Yeah. I mean,
naturally,
you know, we have Israel. Israel was, God's chosen people, have been God's chosen people.
Right.
God was very clear about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Outside of Israel, there are very few, if any other, nations that were built on any biblical principles at all.
Right.
America seems to have been, okay, the first truly Christian nation in the sense that when our forefathers wrote the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, that was all based upon very clear biblical principles and verses, instructions from God's Word.
Yeah, I think it's hard to argue
and against for, that point. And for several hundred years, I don't say several hundred.
Is that a couple?
250 years right now.
I was going to say,
250? For about 100 years, let's say 100 years, for about 100, half of that time.
Millions of years.
America has evolved.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
one misstep there.
Billions.
But for half of that time, we stayed pretty true to that.
Right, yeah.
Okay, and that's how we gained the reputation of being a Christian.
Right, absolutely. I mean, most missionaries during that time period, right, they were coming from America.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's where they were coming from, right? They were being sent from America out into the world.
Yeah.
Dominantly, the vast majority.
And so now we have a society that pretty much has abandoned that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, so that's the post Christian culture.
Right.
And there's a lot of research that backs this up.
Oh, man.
I mean, I got a few things here. In 2007, 78% of U.S. adults identified as Christian. But by 2024, that had declined to 62%, right?
And when you say Christian, I mean, that can mean...
That's a really loose term, right?
Of different things. So we're not talking just about, like, Christian, like what we have here.
Well, here's an interesting stat. Only 31% of Christians strongly agree that they have a personal responsibility to share their faith.
31?
31. Of those who say they're Christians.
Right, which is that broad spectrum.
Yeah.
Again, so of that broad spectrum, 30%. Crazy.
Of course, you know, we all know that, you know, church attendance is declining.
Yeah.
We've seen the pushback from different segments of society about, you know, if you go to church, you know, you're a radical weirdo, right? And, you know, all these things. Okay. So, you know, there's no doubt.
The world, America looks different
right.
than it used to.
So how now do you witness in that culture?
Yeah.
That's really the question.
I mean, and it's true. Things look different, right? Yes, it is. It's true. But we have always been called to witness to just anyone and everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, the Great Commission is go out to everybody.
Right.
You know, it's not, don't just go out to the people that will be responsive. Right. Exactly. It's go out to everyone. We've never been called to just spread the gospel to those that it's easy to spread the gospel to. That's never been the call. That's never been the Great Commission. That's never been the responsibility. If they're receptive to it, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But we weren't just called to do the work when the work was easy. Right. And now it's starting to get hard. So just, you know, take it easy.
But if you stop and think of it, have things really changed?
In what sense? In
the sense that you take the first century church,
right?
The first church of Jerusalem, they were called to witness in what kind of environment? I mean, we're talking a very hostile, you know, pre-Christian Roman world, which, by the way, did not have a Bible Belt.
That's right.
Did not have Christian radio.
See, we think it's so hard now because we've been spoiled.
And they didn't have podcasts like this. Right?
Yeah. We think it's so hard to be a Christian right now because we've been so spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been hard to be a Christian.
Right.
Always has been.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not being lit up as human torches anymore.
No.
It's been harder than what it is right now.
So the other part of that, though, is what did they have?
Right.
They had the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and they had God's Word.
That's right. Which we have now.
And nothing's changed.
Exactly. What the resources that we have, like, have really only elevated, right? But what we need is still there.
We still need the witches, right?
It's consistent.
We need people to stand up, speak up, and be the voice for Christ.
So how? Answer the question. And it says, how do you witness effectively? To be honest, just witness at all. The easiest time, and I think we get this backwards, because obviously the question comes from a place of it's harder to do now than it has been.
Right.
And that's incorrect. The easiest time to be a light is when there's darkness everywhere.
Yeah.
If there's light everywhere, then it's kind of hard to stand out as a light. But if everywhere is dark, then it's so easy to be a light. Literally, just be a tiny glimmer, and you can be seen for all around. It's never been, well, I won't say it's never been easier, but it's not harder.
Yeah, I think one of the things too is we live in a very argumentative world.
Absolutely.
Everybody wants to argue about everything
because we have so much access to information.
Right.
Like,
and when it comes to witnessing, there's this sense that we've got to win an argument.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right. And so
for sure.
So every person who thinks about witnessing, they're thinking about winning an argument. They think, oh, I've got to go in here. I've got to confront this person. I've got to argue from a perspective which I can force them to acknowledge that they're wrong.
The goal isn't even about being a witness anymore. We go into that conversation like, I need to prove that God exists.
Exactly.
I need to prove that creation is real. I need to prove a 7-day. It's not even about being a witness. It's about proving all of Scripture.
So my question is, if you go in with that particular attitude,
right,
what are you going to accomplish?
Oh, man. You probably won't even start.
Right, because it's just going to be a fight is all it is.
Yeah.
So where do we start with? Do we start with an argument? And the answer to that, of course, is no. All right. We start with a person.
Right.
And what I mean by that is you have to see, and this is going to, as I think about it right now, happens on three different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when I say a person, number one, we're talking about the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the vine, we are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
Without me, you can do nothing.
Right.
Right. So there's no way I win somebody to the Lord.
You don't argue someone
right to
salvation.
And I think we use the word soul winning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if I even like that term anymore.
Right.
And I'm probably going to get lambasted all across the world for this.
Dare you.
Yeah, for challenging the word soul winning. because the minute you say soul winning,
it puts
the responsibility on me to go win somebody to the Lord.
Right.
And we don't see that in Scripture anywhere.
Right.
He said, go be a testimony for me. Mm-hmm. A light for me.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that will draw people, mm-hmm. and he's the one that will convict them of their sin. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be very careful about that. Now, start with the person, okay? So start with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And then start with me.
Right.
I'm a person.
Mm-hmm.
What's my relationship with him? How am I living with him? How am I abiding in him?
Mm-hmm.
How am I obeying him every day? Because if I'm not setting the right example and I'm not living for Christ and I'm portraying my life as just this drudgery that I'm going through, mm-hmm. and just trying to get through it, I'm just hoping that God gets me through it.
Right.
And one day I'm going to get to heaven. Who wants that?
Right. That sounds awful. You lost me.
Yeah. Because if people see someone who loves their relationship with Christ.
Right.
And they're rejoicing in going to church. They're rejoicing in reading their Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's something that people want.
Right.
Right. And that doesn't come by me carrying the weight.
Mm-hmm.
It comes by me abiding in Christ.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So then there's the person that you're actually going to try to, you know, be a testimony to, a witness to.
Right.
Right. And that person, you have to see them as a person that God died for, a person that God loves, not looking at their sin, not looking at their lifestyle, not looking at, you know, their arguments, not looking at any of that stuff. No, this is a person that has a soul that God loves and God cares for.
Yeah.
And I think we miss that sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's a complete package that you have to consider.
No, and I agree. And I think sometimes we see this salvation, this, you know, soul winning or whatever term you want to use for it, trying to be a testimony of Christ. I think we see it as a sales pitch.
Yeah.
And it's not a sales pitch.
Right.
I don't have to sell you. If I come up to you and say, hey, do you want a brand new Corvette that costs you nothing and it'll never break down and you never have to put gas in it and it's your dream car? Do you want that?
We're out there selling eternal life.
Right. I don't have to sell you on that.
Right.
I don't have to sell you on that. That's a no-brainer. The gospel is a no-brainer.
Right.
It's not a sales pitch.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. You don't have to sell someone on this. Mm-hmm. It's God wants you to have
it. If you are truly abiding in the vine.
Right. Yeah.
See, this is where Yeah, I'm gonna jump into some bunch of stuff here. All
right. So now remember, we're trying to keep this short now, okay? You already went into your pet peeve Sunday.
I got more.
Shoot.
What I was gonna say was it's one of those things where we have sold everyone on you have to do the work, you have to do the work, mm-hmm. you have to do the work, you have to do the work.
Right.
And I wonder sometimes now whether those people who were pushing that
mm-hmm.
were truly abiding in Christ themselves.
Right.
Because, I mean, again, the more I study the Word of God, and this has been more solidified in my heart and mind as I've worked through chapters 14, 15, and now 16, that there is this very personal relationship that we have with God. And my life as I live it is about that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's me abiding in him. And as I abide in him, he's the one then yep. that does the work, absolutely. Right? And so do I have to force the issue?
Right.
No. Now, are there times when God gives me the opportunities and I need to take those opportunities? Because we right. open with the cold open, right, mm-hmm. of someone who's sitting at a dinner table,
yeah.
and now the conversation has changed, and the door is open for you to start yeah. sharing your faith.
Yeah.
Well, now you're not pushing anything on anybody,
right.
but the opportunity is there. Take it.
Mm-hmm.
I think a great example of that is Paul at Mars Hill,
mm-hmm.
right? He's just going along looking at all the different gods and, you know, that are, and by the way, fake gods, no yeah. ears, you know, have little a little chain here and all that stuff. And he comes to the last one and here's this monument set up to a god that nobody even knows, the unknown god. what a perfect opportunity. Hey, let me tell you about this one.
I know, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Did he force the issue?
No.
No. Did he seize an opportunity?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think even in today's world where, and by the way, you can't assume that people have shared ground, they don't have shared ground anymore, right? Right. There's not, we live in a culture today where a lot of people haven't grown up in church mm-hmm. and they don't know the Bible
yeah.
and they don't understand God's word. And you can't argue them into the word of God mm-hmm. and into salvation when they don't even know him.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what do? I look for those opportunities when the door kind of opens up,
mm-hmm.
you know, somebody says to you, well, I can't understand how you went through that difficult circumstance with such peace and joy. You know, what is it that makes you different than me in that?
And yeah.
There it is.
Let me tell you.
Right. And you tell it organically mm-hmm. from the relationship that you already have
mm-hmm.
with the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. No, for sure. It reminds me of an illustration that I've never forgotten. I've always kept this in mind. And it was by my youth pastor talking about growing up. He was talking about his son. And he said, guys, sometimes, you know, I'll be moving some heavy stuff. And my son, he was like 3 or 4. He's like, he wants to help me.
Yeah.
Right. And so I let him help me. He said, I say, hey, help, you know, help me lift this container full of stuff. He says, so I lift the container by myself.
Right, right.
And he puts his hands on it
mm-hmm.
and he's walking with me.
Yeah.
Now, is he helping?
Yeah.
Not really. He right. Now, he's giving his best effort. I mean, he's putting all his strength and power into it.
Yeah.
And really, he's probably just making it harder. Mm-hmm. I understand that illustration more now because my girls always want to help me do stuff.
Yeah.
And I want them to learn, so I let them help me.
Yeah.
They're making the job harder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing all of the work.
Right.
But to them, they're giving it their max effort.
Yeah.
And God lets us help.
Yeah.
But God's doing the lifting.
And that's such a great illustration. Why? Because, you know, let's say, because I've had those moments when I've went with someone through their journey of accepting Christ.
Right.
Okay. And there's nothing greater
mm-hmm.
than sitting there and seeing someone open their heart to the Lord, inviting right. him in, the burden that's lifted, all those things.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm there. You know, I've used scripture. I've talked to them. So I'm on the corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But who's actually doing all the work?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I think that is a good illustration exactly of what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to convey to us.
Yeah.
That, yes, we have a responsibility.
Yeah.
Go tell people, be a witness, live the life of a witness. How do I do that? Abiding in the vine, obedience, just committing to Him. And as we do that, then His fruit,
yeah,
will, and part of that fruit is you being a witness and seeing other people come to know Christ. A couple of verses just to go along with this, because I sometimes I feel like we do a lot of talking. We don't bring as much scripture into it as we should. But
that's fair.
You know, Romans 1:16 is one that says, you know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It doesn't matter how the culture changes. It doesn't matter how society changes. The power of the gospel does not change. And it is God who's always doing the work. And so we need to be reminded of that. You know, again, 1 Corinthians 2, Paul said, verse 4, my speech, my preaching was not enticing words of man's wisdom, right? He said, but in demonstration of the Spirit, the power of Christ, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Right.
And so we've got to be very careful about some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Second one, real quick.
All right.
And we probably already have hit on this a little bit.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're not doing double duty here. When you have witnessed repeatedly, and that person has rejected you, because I hear this a lot, you know, Pastor, I've invited people so many times, and they still have never come.
Mm-hmm.
Or I prayed for a family member, and I keep praying for them, but I just never see them come to Christ.
Yeah.
I shared the gospel with someone who keeps telling me no.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how long do I keep going?
Right.
Right. When is persistence faithful, and when is it just exhausting yourself? You're just wearing yourself down.
Right.
And you're sort of, as people said, beating your head against the wall, so to speak.
Right.
All right. You want to take a stab at that?
I think it comes with a little bit of a mindset change. Sometimes we are really bad about measuring things in numbers.
Yes.
And if we don't hit a certain amount of numbers, then it wasn't good enough and we failed.
Yeah.
And I think the reality is we have to change our mindset a little bit. If I go through my whole life living for the Lord, living in obedience, doing the absolute best I can, and truly, like, doing everything I can, you know, like, obeying, witnessing, all this stuff, and I lead one person to the Lord.
Yeah.
Some people, that's a failure.
Right.
Only led one person to the Lord. One person isn't going to hell.
Right.
Because of that life of obedience. And then you have to think, if that person leads someone to the Lord, maybe they leave a handful of people to the Lord, right? That is now multiple people not going to hell.
Yeah.
If a life is spent and leads one person to the Lord, that's a success.
So the illustration was on Sunday, you know, Stephen.
Yeah.
Right? One of the first deacons.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of people, as I said, Sunday, that would look at Stephen's life and say, what a waste.
Right.
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 You know, what did he really accomplish for the Lord other than die for the Lord?
Yeah.
And that's a pretty significant thing. Never would downplay
that. Right. Yeah, of course.
But we miss, there was a young man standing at the feet who witnessed all this.
Yeah.
His name was Saul, who later became Paul. Who I just read two verses from,
The
Holy Spirit used him to write those two verses.
Yeah,
you know, and so what you're saying is exactly true. It's never about what we think are the results.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. We get too caught up, as you said, in numbers and metrics, and you know, we've seen this in churches so many times.
Right.
It was very prevalent in churches as I was your age and working in churches, you know, you had to, you know, tell everybody how many people you had saved. As a missionary, the pressure of a missionary to report thousands of people being saved and churches being started. And right. if you didn't report that, you were going to lose your support because you just weren't doing the job that God called you to do.
Right.
But there are some mission fields you'll never see.
Yeah.
I mean, was it, who was it? Adnan Judson? One of the great missionaries?
David Brainerd?
David Brainerd, maybe. But I know one of them, I think it was Judson, wasn't he in India? And he didn't see a soul saved for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And yeah, we look at him today as one of the greatest missionaries ever.
Yeah.
Right. So it, my point is exactly the same as yours. Mm. We've got to be very careful about putting a metric on it.
Well, I'm talking about bringing scripture into it. And Paul, you look at Paul, he says, you know, I put down the seeds, right? But then, Apollos, I believe, you know, he waters,
right.
And then God sees it. So, like, you might be the one that plants the seeds,
right?
And you never see the growth.
Yes,
you never see any of that.
Yeah.
Someone else comes in and waters,
yes.
right? But but someone had to plant the seeds, right? The measure of success, there has to just be a mindset change. How we measure success and how God measures success is rarely the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's just rarely the same thing because we're all about numbers and what we can see. And that's just not how God operates because God sees the heart. God sees what's inward and God knows the future. And he knows how what we see as a small thing can be explosive.
Right.
And he gets that and we don't. The mindset for us just it has to change that if we are obeying God, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, I mean, you see preachers get discouraged from preaching, but God says his word will never return void.
That's right. That's right.
Right? But a preacher might be like, I don't see anything. It looks void to me, right? How God measures success and how we measure success is different. And as far as this question, I would say the big thing is there just has to be a shift of mindset there.
Right.
There just has to be a shift of
mindset. And a good way to look at it is you're not the one responsible for the harvest.
No, no, you're not.
The only responsibility that God has given you is just sow the seed.
Yeah.
Right? And then let him do the rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then another thing that you have to understand is it takes some people, it takes them a time to come to Christ, right? It's a process for some people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't just hear the gospel once and get saved.
Right. It's just,
right. Yeah. I remember talking to a lady one time, you know, I was trying to witness to her and she just, after I'd finished giving her the gospel, she just looked at me. She said, listen, she says, I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
She says, and I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
She says, but I have never heard this before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I ain't grow up in church. I ain't grow up with the Bible. And she says, I just need time to process this.
Right.
Right. And so that sometimes that's the way it is. And by the way, witnessing is like farming, you know.
No.
A farmer doesn't go out there and put a seed in the ground and come out the next day and expect,
a great harvest.
He knows that the minute he puts that seed in the ground, that there is a growing season that has to take place before you ever get any fruit or any vegetables.
Mm.
And so it's the same thing for us sometimes with the gospel. Yes, there may be people, and by the way, most people who hear supposedly the gospel for the first time have already had things been happening in their life where God's been grooming them to hear the gospel and then they accept it, right?
Yeah.
And so somebody might hear the gospel the first time and there's things that God needs to do in their life to bring them to that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to hear a lot, and I agree with people, okay? Some of the things that I'm mentioning now is not things I disagree with, it's just things that I've rethought over time.
Oh, right.
And I used to remember, you know, back in the day, they would be preaching, oh, you've got to give the gospel right now because you never know what's going to happen the next moment. And if you walk out of the door of the church, you could get hit by a car and you could die instantly and you go to hell and you would never. Maybe.
Right.
I mean, never discount that, right?
Right. Yeah.
But that's not, again, see, that's not in my control.
Right.
That's in God's control.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, what is in my control? Be a witness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Live a life that is an example of someone abiding in Christ. Be ready as best as possible to give an answer, mm-hmm. to be instant in season, out season, right?
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
No, it's so, good. That's good.
You know, it's good. What about the person who said no over and over? You know, I would just say, just, you know, keep working on them.
Right.
Right.
Keep being just, light.
Yeah. Love them. Keep praying.
And that's a big thing. Love them.
Yeah.
Don't treat them different. Don't shun them. Don't judge. You love them and you keep being them.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I mean, I got saved young, but I rejected God for, you know, a while. There mm-hmm. were people, there were people that rejected God for years and got saved.
Yeah.
He didn't just push them away and start hating them.
Right.
And said, leave me. No, he kept loving them.
That's right.
Kept introducing light into their life. Yeah. And we got to do the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. So as we wrap this up, I think the thing that we walk away with today from what Christ said is that, yes, the world is hostile. Mm-hmm. Hostile to God, hostile to us as followers. There's going to be opposition. But, hey, we're not in it alone. And we're not powerless. Now, we didn't spend a lot of time talking about that today, but give it a couple weeks. We'll be there. Okay. But
more,
you know,
anticipation.
You have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Mm-hmm. You're connected to the vine. And when you step out in faith to witness, even when it's uncomfortable, you're doing exactly what Christ has called you mm-hmm. to do. And I always come back to, I think it's 1 Corinthians, I want to say 15, where he told us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in his work. Why? Mm-hmm. Because we know that his labor, or our labor for him, is what? It's not in vain. So it's not wasted effort.
No.
Instead, you know, it's fruitfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, ask yourself, who in my life needs to hear about Christ from me, right? What's one step of courage I'm going to take? And as we finish up here, just remember that if you will just take that step, and it's a step of obedience,
mm-hmm.
and God will be with you. The Holy Spirit's there. And I find that in those moments, back in the day,
mm-hmm.
we used to have a script that we went by, right?
Right.
And I'm not against the script, okay, because obviously it was scriptural. But you would get caught up in this thing, if I didn't get everything in or I didn't do it right, that, you know, it wasn't going to work.
right Yeah.
And I can tell you by experience, I have messed that script up every single time. Even left verses out and still seeing people come to Christ.
Yeah.
So it's not us. We're just the voice. We're just the instrument.
Yeah.
It's God doing the work.
Yeah, it's right? Not a big complicated thing.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. How about you close us in prayer? How's that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for this time. God, thank you for your power. Thank you that you are in control. Lord, the world, if we choose you, it is against us, Lord. Not because it hates us, really, Lord. It's because it hates you. It's because it hates your truth. It's because it hates that you expose their sin, the wrongness of it all. Lord, we don't like to be told we're wrong. We don't like to be corrected. But God, I pray that you please help us to not grow weary because of that. Please bless, Lord, to not be afraid because of that, but to be bold. Please bless, Lord, to choose to be bold. Lord, this is this isn't a sales pitch. The gospel is a no-brainer. Lord, everyone needs it. Lord, we have it. We know. And people need it. Please bless, Lord, to be bold in our sharing of it. Be bold in our going out to choose you, to choose to be a light. And God, I pray you please help us, Lord, to not get discouraged when the rejection comes. When the indifference comes, please bless, Lord, to not grow discouraged as we feel like we are working and working and working, and maybe to our perception, we're just not making any progress. God, please help us to let success be defined by you and not by us, and that we would just continue the work. to do what you've called us to do and to let you handle the rest. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, next week, the episode will be a little different. Pastor Will, who is our worship pastor here at our church, he will be bringing the message this coming Sunday. And I will not be part of the podcast next week because I'm going to let Will and Andrew do it.
Yeah. Right?
And so you'll want to tune in and hear these two young guys. And the old guy will be left out this time. And you, so anyways, thank you for joining us for this episode. And hope that you catch us the next time around for After Sunday.